Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay. All right. Okay. Eye in the sky.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Wow. Beautiful.
Contact.
Contact.
You know why I played that? Do you know why I played that?
I'm trying to get the joke and I can't.
3, 2, 1, contact. It's episode 321 of the Confederacy of
Ducks. Oh, my God. Thank you. That's incredible.
There we go. You're not keeping count at home?
Yeah. I think anyone that heard that, that's not me, immediately was like, I got it. This rocks.
100%. I understand it. Yeah.
Who sings that song?
The people who sang the theme song of 3-2-1 Contact, the show from the 80s. I don't know. It's not like a band.
Oh, or okay. Wow. I don't
it's
even
just a theme
show.
Song from an old show. It was even before my time. I just know that it was like a popular theme song, like wow. In the 80s. Like people really loved it, but I was even too young to really get it.
Well, anyone that is anywhere close to Gen Z is immediately pieced out of this podcast.
Peace out. You're gone. Honestly, I'm surprised you're listening. I'll be honest.
If you're 80 or 90.
Oh, no, Chelsea.
Welcome.
No, Chelsea. No,
yeah,
go.
Chelsea's out. okay, yeah. We are the Confederacy of Dunks basketball podcast on Raptors Republic. I am Freddie Rivas. This is Andy Hull. And we got Chelsea Late from Raptors HQ, Winsider. A bunch of other WNBA related cool stuff. I guess I should say, what's the Raptors HQ title? Is it managing editor?
Editor in chief, managing editor, boss, lady.
Boss lady.
Whatever you want.
It's like, and also an incredible comedian, amazing improviser. This is like the perfect everything for this show. So, Chelsea, thanks for joining.
Of course, anytime.
And any comments on the 3-2-1 Contact song?
I have absolutely no idea what you are talking about.
You're like, my dad doesn't even know that song.
Yeah, no, my parents are not TV people. So anytime there's a full TV. And mind you, I went to TV school. So the fact that I even don't know it is very telling.
I never, ever want to hear it described as anything other than TV school.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what do you mean actually? Yeah. Like okay, wait. Did you go to school to learn how to be on TV?
I did TV writing.
That was my next guest. It was like, okay.
Writing at Hubbard.
Writing school. Yeah,
TV
okay.
Writing.
There you go. Yeah.
The program is literally called TV writing and producing. So I just say that I went to TV school.
Yeah.
It
was a TV school. Yeah,
I
for sure.
I went to Humber College, Humber comedy program. Disaster of a program. Don't worry about it. And there was like the police program there.
Yeah.
And not even as a joke, anytime I ran into like a police person, my first thought would be like that. I just couldn't get it out of my brain. I would always call it Police Academy. And immediately they'd be like, ha ha ha. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm so sorry. Like, and it's like everyone thought it was a bit, but I always was like genuinely, we're calling it Police Academy. And they're like, it's Police Foundations. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but Academy's not that different. And
well, also, it probably didn't help that you would go up to them, say that, and then like make so many sound effects with your mouth.
Yeah.
You know,
and,
like
and
you
for
were,
sure. Yeah.
You were doing all the sound effects like the guy from Police Academy, like making fun of it.
They'd be and like, then, oh, these comedy kids. Ugh.
Yeah. And then I mean, I would also be like, so do you know any other narcs? And like, that was bad too. So,
oh, yeah. They really took you out. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It cuffed me and beat the shit out of me.
My wife went to Humber College, also comedy program. Represent.
Wow. Look at all of us just repping Humber College.
We're doing it.
I won't. I don't.
Good.
I didn't go.
Yeah. Good for
I
you.
I simply won't.
Yeah. I hope you don't.
I still give them money every month.
Oh my God.
Wait. Who do you give money?
Well, I guess technically to OSAP, which I mean.
Whatever. Oh, okay. You're paying off your student loan. Bastards. Yeah. That's different.
Forgive student loans.
Yeah. Right. How dare you?
Hey, or if you're like my buddy Gary, just don't pay them ever, and then just they go away.
Yeah. Defer those loans. Throw them off the DVP.
Eventually, they just go, this guy's never paying this. Let's stop. We're wasting more money calling him every day, you know?
Now, Chelsea, game the system. Okay.
Chelsea, get in there. Don't pay your student loans.
NBA playoffs.
Good advice. Yes.
Let's do this.
NBA playoffs.
Let's go.
Question number one. Chelsea, what's been the best moment of the playoffs so far in your eyes?
Oh, man. I'm, like, really enjoying seeing OG Anunoby on the Knicks.
Yeah.
I've always been an OG Anunoby truther. And in the last game, despite the fact that the Knicks lost, and I was very upset about that, hashtag bing bong, I liked when OG Anunoby had that, like, he had a three, and then, like, next possession had a three, and then, like, also had a dunk, and everybody's like, yeah. OG Anunoby's been the sleeper person of this Knicks team, and I'm like, yeah, get it, OG. So I've just really enjoyed watching, like, the former Raptors thrive in their role, because... Kind of like, told ya.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, you go first, Andy.
No, I was gonna say, yeah, no, I agree. Vindicating. Very vindicating to see our former mainstay Raptors who we knew were so good. And the whole league didn't know, you know? The league didn't even get to see OG when we won the championship that year, right? Really? Like, that's when a lot of people found out, oh, hey, Siakam's good and all this, right? Van Vliet, hey, he's really good. But they never got to do that with OG, and now they finally are getting to see it, and it's nice. I love it, too.
Yeah, you know, I think if you weren't closely following the Raptors, you might have wondered why we weren't selling low on these guys for years and why the whole league wanted them for years. Right. So anyone that is like a big Raptors fan is absolutely not surprised to see OG and Pascal killing it. And, but it is nice, you know, they are awesome, awesome guys deserving of this big moment. That OG block on Embiid was nice too.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
And yeah, for him to be in MSG and killing it, I mean, for sure, there's some like pain there, but like I think, you know, for the most part, it's just awesome.
Great. It's like sad, but like not sad in like an angry way, because obviously, you know, there was no bad blood when all of that happened. Yeah. So you're just happy that they're thriving, but like sad for us that it's not for Toronto.
Yeah, 100%. Andy, do you got a moment?
I've been loving the playoffs. I really have been. I've been trying to watch as much as I can. Catching a lot of the West Coast games lately. Right.
So it's not like Bulls Atlanta playing, or
I didn't really catch any of that. I have been the East Coast one that I have seen the most of, oddly enough, is the Bucks Pacers series, which I ended up catching a lot of, which has been interesting and fun. But as far as moments go, I think if I had to pick like a singular like play moment, DiVincenzo's three.
Oh my God, that was great.
Just a magical moment for New York. The crowd just going absolutely bonkers. Missing the first one, getting it back, just ice cold, doesn't care.
That was
just
like
going
feverish.
I loved that. I watched it replay so many times, and like even watching it again, I'm like, well, he's not gonna. It's over now. He missed, you know. Like even when you see it the second time, so that's like the moment. Although I think the ongoing kind of moment that I really liked was watching Ant-Man and KD just go at it and just have that series. And obviously, I mean, we have a winner. You know what I mean? But and that one particular moment where it's just like right in KD's face and just like. Just trash talking and he's walking back just smiling because he knows like he's like the that whole passing the torch moment, that elongated moment we saw between those teams and between those two players. I enjoyed that a lot too. But I'm cheating because I'm gonna say a third one. This is one that's gonna, I think that it was like a big deal at the time. It's not really, I don't think it's gonna be super remembered as the playoffs go on, but the game, the Mavs Clippers game where the Mavericks came back from like 30 points down and just watching Kyrie just like take over a game was so fun to see. It was amazing. It like, I don't know. I don't get to see the Mavericks play all that often. So hearing about Kyrie is like, yeah, obviously he's good. But when you get to see him do some of that stuff, like that play where he goes up, there's three guys on him and he somehow like shoots it from beside himself. Like, it's insane. It's wild. I get now why everybody in the league is like, this guy's one of the best, you know? And then, also watching James Harden just be like, okay, all right, I guess now I have to do the same thing. And it was like just a battle of these two giants. And it was really fun to watch that game.
Yeah, I made a joke that like the two most beloved players are lighting up that series, yes, which is so fun to me because I'm like, everyone is like, I hate these guys. And they're both like just absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to jump on the or just comment on the Dante DiVincenzo broken play. A play like that to me, like the best like sports equivalent is like a fumble in football, where it's just like it's so much fun chaos. Mm-hmm. And when a play like that ends in a big three or like a really impactful bucket, it's just it's so euphoric and it's fun. But I mean, I can't believe nobody picked this because this is the moment. Mike Conley tripping into Chris Finch's knee.
That was sad, though.
I know. Yeah, shout out Chris Finch. Sorry, had to say that just because I thought it would be funny. Now Finchy. I feel bad. Yeah. My bad. I hope you're okay.
Get surgery.
I'm celebrating an injury. See you later.
I'm awful. Thought it was funny. Shit. So sorry. I actually feel bad.
Shit.
I'm actually laughing. I'm a bastard. So now
I'm myself. Shit.
I am the Grinch. I really did myself. Sorry.
Anyways, moving on. No, you don't get to say your real one.
My real one is I can't believe we're just only focusing on the series, but I thought the Maxi logo 3 was insane.
True. And
it annoyed me though.
Oh yeah, are you? Oh okay. By the way, you know what? I feel like I know where you're going with this, and I'm gonna preempt you, and I'm gonna say, I don't like the Sixers, but in no world can I root for the Knicks.
Really?
I get it. The Knicks are sexy.
What?
And, people love
what have
them.
You got against the Knicks? What's going on here?
Here's what I got against the Knicks. You ready for a mini rant?
I love it.
If you're a glamour market, I cannot support you. I can't support Man U. I can't support the Lakers, the Celtics, the Knicks. And I get the Knicks are a suffering like Leafs style franchise. So it's like, I don't hate the Knicks as much as the Lakers and the Celtics, but I'm still like, it's still New York. I can't root for the Yankees or the Mets. You know what I'm saying? So that's like, that's my sports sort of like.
It makes sense.
OCD coming out there. I should also say that I'm not like, yay Sixers. Like I'm sort of just won a 7-game series. But for me, there's no, I guess I'm just like, there's no replacement Raptors. Like I'm just the Raptors.
You don't like hop on a bandwagon once the Raptors are out.
I kind of just want every game to go like every series to go 7 games is basically my goal. Or I want some team that's like never won, like the Pacers or something.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. I feel it.
I should say love all the Knicks players.
Well, this is the thing I was about to say is like, how do you feel about like following a player, like following somebody like OG?
Yes.
Or OG. You know, Pascal, like we were talking about earlier, like our guys, like, you know, that's one of the reasons why I absolutely am cheering for the Knicks. And also simultaneously, it's the reason why I don't hate the Sixers because of Kyle Lowry, and watching everyone hate Kyle Lowry so much, you know, the way he's playing. I love that because I'm like, you guys never had him on your team. That's why you hate him. You know, like I love him. I love watching him frustrate other teams like that. It's great.
Yeah. That part's fun, but I just like I feel like what you feel about the Knicks, like I could never support the Philadelphia 76ers. Like I can't do it. I don't like, and I'm going to, I'm probably going to get canceled here, but I don't like Embiid as a player. So that's a big one.
I don't think that's that controversial. I think
tons of people hate that guy. Yeah, I don't know. There's a sign that I feel like anybody who cancels me is just going to be from Philadelphia. But
yes, yeah.
And like, yeah. I don't know. There are just so many former Raptor people around. I don't, Kyle Lowry isn't included in this, but like, I'm like, why are you trying to be us? Like,
I like it.
But I don't know. I just like, and like every time, every year, I'm just like, you never perform.
Or you get Freddie's second favorite playoff moment, the Embiid off the glass massive dunk, break your knee. You love that.
I just
moment.
Like the injuries. Oh, God. I'm horrible. I will say, as like a, you know, Raptors fan perspective again, the Sixers are our real like actual
rivals.
Like they're the team we played the most in the playoffs. Yep. You know, there's like Embiid is like show, you know, the airplane, like. Obviously, you know, going back to Iverson, they are the team that we've actually
the Kawhi shot, like
for sure, yep. For sure.
Yeah. Now Nick Nurse is there, so that's like another layer of like weird beef.
Yeah,
agreed. And it's nice that they, it's nice as a team like the Raptors, because like we're obviously expansion '90s, that we don't have the deep history that some other like really deep history back to like you know Lakers Celtics type stuff. To have a team that has it in for us too a bit, because like think about it from the other perspective, like we could pick a couple other teams also that we like have a rivalry. We could say the Cavs, you know, we could say, I don't know, there was a time where we probably could have said the Nets, right? The Nets could have been a choice. I love that the Sixers kind of hate us too. That's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. We had that moment.
Probably when you look back at Embiid now and that he's kind of on the decline, it's like, that was his best chance.
Oh, absolutely. We robbed it from
rushed it.
I also love our Toronto's own sleeper agent, Brian Colangelo, getting in there, just mucking up the process. Absolutely love it. That was a good moment. Just sticking on this though, I think the like both Jamal Murray game winners. Mm-hmm. Have to be acknowledged in this.
I had that on my list as well. Yeah.
Like Anthony Davis falling into a crowd of people that just beat him. It's like, that's nuts.
It is wild. Yeah.
Like when you think about like, you know, if you're a Nuggets fan, that's like a big forever moment to you. Where like, you know, you'll have this image of like Jamal Murray hitting a game winner and then Anthony Davis tripping. Like over your success, good stuff. Okay, let's move on here. I'll start with you again, Chelsea. What player or team has altered their trajectory or reputation the most in the playoffs?
I think I'm gonna. There's two ways I could go about this. I have two answers. Andy had three before, so I'm gonna.
Yeah, I cheated big time. So
the Andy's first one. The first one I'm going to take is the Sixers because like there's always kind of been hopes for them. Yeah.
Trust the process though. But
yeah. Like, and then they're always like, oh, like MVP caliber. Meanwhile, it's just a flop merchant, but whatever. I'm like such a hater.
I'm loving this.
Major hater.
Imagine if you were a Sixers fan and you're like, I'll give this pod a chance. you're like, I'm going to kill these guys.
Player. Yeah. Don't give me, I really like Tyrese Maxey as a player. So I'm going to give him his flowers. Great player.
I'm a big Paul Reed fan, but yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but I just think that like the Sixers have always been like, this is the year. And then it's just like never the year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, even if they do miraculously win this series, there's absolutely no way that Joel Embiid's knee is going to make it to the end. Like, and then you also have like the Celtics, you have all these other teams in the East that are like coming for you. Like, no. So I feel like I feel like we're just on the low of this like weird Sixers like high that never got anywhere. So they're changing their trajectory. They're going to be washed soon. Hater.
I love it.
And then the other one I think is like the Thunder, because I think everyone was just kind of like, oh, they're too young to be that good yet.
Yep. I was one of those people.
Yeah, they're like, oh, like they need a couple more years experience. This will be good for them to get some playoff experience. Yada yada, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I was about to swear. But Yeah.
Remember when we said shit a thousand times earlier? You can swear. It's okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
I made fun of someone's patella, so.
But yeah, and then they come in, they absolutely like, they sweep the Pelicans. SGA is like on that new dad moment. Like Freddie is as well. So, you know, I got
Shout out SGA. We're the same. No worries.
We're the same. Yeah. And also his son's, hearing the story of his son's name, I was like, that is so cute. And also just love that. I'm sure the fans are going nuts.
What is his son's name? I didn't hear it.
His son's name is Ares. And Ares in Greek mythology is the son of Zeus, and Zeus is the god of thunder. Mm-hmm. So then Oklahoma City Thunder, mwah, it's perfect. It's perfect. Also
the god of war?
Yeah.
So but, cool.
Yeah.
He's going to grow up to be Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's
my that's literally like a raptor naming their kid like Jurassic or something random like that. But that was a bad example. But top of my head, but I just like think that they have Chet, they have like Lou Dort was killing it. They just like the vibes on that team are immaculate, and I think that everybody was like, it's too soon, and they're like, no, it's not. So I just like the trajectory that they're on. So,
you know, and yeah, I got to put my hand up as someone who, I mean, I didn't necessarily like, I wasn't convinced they were going to lose, but I was definitely someone who, like, if they were matched up against the Lakers or the Suns, I sort of thought there was a chance. Like earlier in the year, I was a little bit like, maybe they're last year's Kings. But then as it got closer to the playoffs, I was like, yeah, but last year's Kings didn't have like an MVP.
Yeah.
I do think they beat a Zion-less Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that, but also they did it in such convincing fashion that I think, you know, that narrative is put to bed. So I'll put my hand up and be like, you know, I was one of the people who's wrong about that. Also, just got to say, I love a good weird nickname, and the Dorcher Chamber.
That's very good.
That's nuts. It's good. That's stuck. Like any name that's sort of like really weird and dumb, and people are like, Dortuary. No. Yeah, like the Dorcher. Like someone, like
Dorcher's
someone,
nuts.
Someone cooking up. No, no. What good, about though. Instead of torture, we do Dorcher, and oh, everyone so else good. Being like, "You got it." Is yeah.
Say it on TV. Say it on TV.
Yeah, and then exactly, and then everyone's like, "No, this isn't even funny. It's true." Holy shit. Dorcher Chamber Thunder. Great answers, Andy. Do you got a team or a player? Mm. You know, negative or positive, sort of like their trajectory.
Altering their trajectory. Okay, so I think there's actually been a lot of, instead of changing their trajectory, just emphasizing and like solidifying the trajectory a lot of teams and players were already on. Like they're really like, I am here, I am this, I am good. You know what I mean? That's happening, I think, a lot around the league. Anthony Edwards stands out to me as doing that. Jalen Brunson is doing that. The Celtics are kind of a weird one where it's like, obviously this is the best team in the league, and they crushed the Heat except for that one game, which is like, uh-oh, look out, right?
Yeah.
Everyone for a second was like, are they gonna lose?
Oh, will they never miss again? Yeah.
No. So in a way, the Celtics getting beat like that and then being like, no, we're still the team, we're still the best. That's kind of a small version of this. I'm trying to really think of players that really kind of stood out as like altering like what it is. And I thought of these guys, like I thought of like, okay, what about KD, like, you know, going out 4-0, but no, that's him, man, like going to a super team and then like being a problem, you know what I mean? Like that's him just doing the same thing. So no, it's not that. Then I thought, like, I don't know, LeBron a little bit. The whole territory. Like, I know, right? I'm a big time, like, okay, everyone convinced me and they're right, LeBron GOAT, but like him going like, it's just basketball, like, I'm like, I watched that press conference he did, I'm just like, man, can you imagine Michael Jordan being like, it's just basketball, I don't really care. Like, you know what I mean? Don't worry about it. It's just basketball at the end of the day. You know? Like, that even just having that feeling, because, like, I know, like, that quote is a little bit, like, Like you can take, it's very easy to take that out of context and think and like add more to it than actually he intended. But I don't know. I didn't love it. And I think that's a guy who knows his team's going to lose and doesn't have a chance, even though he played well. This is the thing. Like, I actually think like the Lakers did everything they could, man. Like LeBron and AD, like they showed up and they just are not even close to being enough. So I don't know. This is a tough question for me. Yeah, and it's exactly right. And obviously Nikola Jokic. So yeah, I don't know as far as like changing. I had a hard time with this because I think there's a lot of we're still early enough that look at that Clippers Mavericks series. You could see something happening there where like Luka to me looked like not regular Luka for a couple of those games. And there's some other the Bucks maybe where like, I mean, I know that it's hard to say that about them. They don't have Giannis. They didn't have Dame the other day. Like, you know, so it's tough.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of like answers sort of, you know, but with reputation, it's weird. Like, what do you already think of the player or the person? So like, what do they have to do to like change that idea? Mm-hmm. I think for me, there's a couple people who are sort of like have performed really well and kind of like reminded people how good they are. I think Chris Middleton has been injured for like 2 years in a row. And people forgot about he was kind of sort of like quiet KD when the Bucks won the championship. Like, obviously he's not KD in any capacity, but he was sort of like this just absolute assassin during that time. And, you know, it's a multi-time all-star. And I think people sort of wrote him off. And the fact that he's maintained that competitive, that he's a special player.
I've never seen him take over a game like he did that last game. Mm-hmm. That was insane. Watching him become the star player was like, I always see him as like a third guy. Like, it's like Giannis, it's Drew Holiday, and then it's him, right? Like, that's in my mind. That's just how it always is. And watching him absolutely dominate that game was very impressive, and it was fun to see.
Yeah. And I was going to say, you know, Pascal Siakam, I mean, again, not really for Raptors fans, I don't think, but being in a new situation, being, you know, that impressive, mm-hmm. I think, you know, to see him in a really competitive playoff series again, being like, you know, doing meaningful damage, I think is a good reminder that like he is, you know, worth a max, right? And like, you know, mm-hmm. a ton of money, and like he is that guy. I think a team for me that, you know, similar to the Thunder, I think the Magic, you know, I know it's 3-2 Cavs, but I think the Magic have shown up in a way where it's like, man, this team is good. And like, mm-hmm. to call a number one overall player like underrated feels weird, but Paolo is like so good. And mm-hmm. every time I watch him, I'm like, this guy's like so... He just like has a flow and maturity where I'm like, man, this guy is going to be like a dominant force in the league for such a long time, and seems to be doing stuff with such ease. And yeah, I mean, I think the Cavs will sort of like wrap that up, but
Paolo, everyone keeps forgetting about that series though. Like,
I know, which is so funny. Yeah. And it's been pretty good. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, game five is awesome. Like,
yeah, that's wild.
Okay. Before we move on from the playoffs, last episode we kind of talked about what we were most excited about, mm-hmm. And I will say that I have not watched a minute of Cavaliers Magic, and even though I think we kept talking about how like underrated that series was going to be, and were we wrong? Like, have you guys watched any of it? Can you tell me?
No, I have not.
Listen, I've watched some because I'm a nut. And yeah. Game five was incredible.
Okay, good. Okay.
Franz Wagner's been good. Suggs has had some big moments. Mobley is another sort of, I mean, I don't know if he's done enough to like change his narrative, but Mobley's been awesome. Like, he's had some really big moments. And yeah, it's been a pretty solid series. I think that, you know, if it happens and it's Boston Cleveland, I think people will be surprised with how competitive that series is. Mm. And And obviously you got to take Boston, but I think that series is going to be billed as like a Boston beatdown. And I think it's not going to be like that. Like, I think it will be a very competitive series. So
Am I allowed to
spin it and be like, and ask a question? Cause I want to know who you guys think are going to like win it all.
Man, this is related.
This is actually kind of related to my question. So let me piggyback onto that before you answer, Freddie. Can anyone beat the Celtics?
Yeah, I'm going Celtics.
Yeah.
I think in the West there's someone,
but in the East it's a cakewalk, right? Like, they're just going to the finals. Yeah.
For me, it's not a cakewalk, but I mean, as fun as the Knicks are, no, they cannot beat the Celtics.
No, they can't beat the Celtics.
The Cavs are good. They can't beat the Celtics. Pacers, absolutely not. And to me, though, I think that there might be a quiet dynasty brewing, and I don't think that anyone can beat Jokic. He himself is unbeatable as a force.
So to answer your question, Chelsea, who's going to win it all? I think the Nuggets, and I know that that's like an easy pick, but like, just watching. He doesn't need, I mean, Jamal Murray's insane, and Jokic still like kind of doesn't need him around, you know? It's like, it's nuts. Yeah.
I don't know if this is like a hot take, but I think that like the T-Wolves had this like just beautiful, amazing series against the Suns. And I think Jokic is going to murder Gobert and Towns in such a disgraceful fashion that as good as Ant-Man may be, like in that series, and sorry, like he will be good, but I think that Jokic is just going to be like, I'm so sorry, but Gobert is going to be embarrassed at this moment. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't see it. Like,
It's hard. It's hard to think. And especially like thinking about Boston too, like who do they have? Like, is Al Horford going to be joking? Like, no, like, I don't know. It's hard. And I feel
Sam Hauser.
Look out.
And like, part of me, like, I'm going to be happy if Denver wins again, but like, and they're obviously building this great dynasty, but it kind of is I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get called out for being like a Boston Celtics fan by the Toronto fans who absolutely hate Boston sports. But I don't know. I have a soft spot for the city of Boston.
It's my entire family.
Like half of my family's from there. So I go there all the time. It's a beautiful city.
Family ties is different. Family ties is different.
All of my family members are so pumped that the Celtics are good right now.
I guess it only happens every like 8 years. So I guess they need something to cheer for. They haven't won a championship in 4 or 5 years. Better get them one.
Yeah. So like, I know that if I'm like, I hate the Boston Celtics, my entire family's gonna be like, you're disowned.
Family's important.
Family's important. Yeah. But that's gonna be a great series. I do hope it ends up being Celtics Nuggets, because that's like,
It will be, right?
Yeah.
Like, it
that's
will
a
be.
Good basketball.
Yes, I think that would be a gigantic series, and the NBA would be very happy about it.
Oh yeah.
Here's another question: Who has the better chance of taking down the Nuggets, the Thunder or the Timberwolves?
Timberwolves.
Because like, you know,
is like Chet gonna go up against Nikola and do anything? Like,
just to counter myself,
He's gonna learn. You know what I mean? It's gonna be very good for him. It's gonna be very good.
Ant-Man is that good? But I can't see it, because like Aaron Gordon is gonna be a decent Ant-Man matchup. I don't think
it's rough.
And then who guards Murray? Like, not good.
And apologies to Clippers and/or Mavericks fans, but we don't know who they are, who's there yet. So that's
What's going to happen? James Harden's going to prove everyone wrong, dominate the rest of the way,
I think Mavericks win that series, and then we'll see what happens. But
Clippers win. Norm Powell, Finals MVP. Go ahead.
Let's go. It's fun to cheer for Norm. I do like that. Yeah.
That would be sick, though, right?
Norm Powell and Finals MVP.
I was like, did Freddie just?
I'll eat my hat.
Wait, was there another take before we move on?
No, I just asked you. Chelsea and I asked the question sort of together.
Yeah.
Oh,
and we all answered it. It was great.
Okay. I was like, do I eat my hat? What's going on? Okay.
No, only if Norm wins.
I will eat my own hat, even though I made the joke. Okay, let's talk a little bit of Raptors. I think it's good we started with NBA because, you know, it's playoffs. Mm-hmm. Andy, let me start with you for this one. And let me throw a little caveat in here with the assumed re-signing of Quickly. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just going to put that out because he's a restricted. Mm-hmm. I just don't see any world in which the Raptors don't match.
Yeah, no, like there's that just would be
it's not
terrible.
It would be insane.
Does anyone try even? You know what I mean? Like, does anyone like make
they
the
try,
offer,
like... but they don't succeed.
Yeah, and like that barely happens anymore because you are tanking your own offseason. If you go after a restricted free agent,
I
agree.
I don't think they do.
That's three full days where that money's locked up. So you lose out on everything. Like if you were like, let's say Detroit, and you're like, we're throwing whatever at Quickly. You have 3 days of just losing free agents for the other team to just match. So it's like,
and there's so many good free agents this summer. So like, why would you put all your eggs in a restricted one?
Yeah, it would be absolute. Yeah, it would be like just nuts for it to happen. Yeah. Okay. So yes, with that said, Andy, what is the single biggest need for the Raptors this offseason, whether that's a signing, whatever it is, draft?
Okay. This is interesting. It's tough to do this with a team where the Raptors are at, where like there are so many like holes to fill.
So many
and nothing. And yet nothing is like crazy urgent. You know, we are in a rebuilding phase. We've mm-hmm. got some guys that we're building around. Obviously Scotty we're building around. And so there's one thing doesn't exactly stand up super higher than the rest. So I'll go with a little bit more of a like concept as opposed to a specific like piece or.
Love it. Or, give me a concept, you know, role, baby.
Leadership, right? I think that you got to find that the key thing around these younger teams when we're building them.
Charles Oakley, watching, let's go.
Get him back, baby. The garbage man.
Oak.
Big Oak.
But like, when you say leadership, do you think that they're not going to re-sign Garrett Temple?
I heard Garrett Temple.
We both laughed, and I cackled. That was weird.
I heard Garrett Temple on the radio the other day.
He rocks.
I turned it on. I turned it on later. He's very nice. But it was after like they'd already weren't saying who it was at this point, and I didn't hear the beginning. So okay. it was just like whoever on Sportsnet, like JD Bunkus or something, talking to a guy who was talking about the team in such a way that I was like, who is this? He has kids and he's going to like candle making class with Kelly Olynyk. And I'm like, who is this guy? And then, it was Garrett Temple.
I don't know if you mean on-court leadership or off-court leadership, but when I think
go ahead.
No, when I was just thinking, like, when you think about someone who's like taking the young guys under their wing, like that's Garrett Temple, but like, I do know that like on-court leadership, that's not the same thing. So
yes, I definitely do mean more on-court because that off-court stuff is like going to a candle making class is great, I guess, but like that's not what I'm talking about.
It's actually very important.
It's very fun.
I just want to say this about Garrett Temple. One of my favorite like not talked about storylines this year is as soon as we signed Garrett Temple, the first thing he did when he was in Toronto was he went and he spoke at like a pro union rally.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Thought it was so fucking great.
That is really great.
Yeah. Cause he's like
a good guy. Like he's so awesome. Good. Yeah. Like just so purely good. And his kids are so cute. And I'm like,
He really, I was so into figuring out who it was because I'm you know, the conversation I having was great. So I do mean on court. I do mean like in the game. I mean like leadership through doing the things on court, and I don't necessarily mean like experience. I'm not saying go sign a veteran player to teach these guys what it's like to be a winner or whatever. I think it's like coming from within and drafting, ideally drafting some players who have this sort of innate leadership ability in them. But obviously looking to our guys that we're building around, our Scotties, our IQs, our RJs to provide that. And I think as opposed to going out and finding this elsewhere, cultivating it from within is like that's what teams have. That's what winning teams have. They have those core players that are the leaders. And like, you know, the Raptors are in a place now where I'm not impatient with this at all, by the way. Like, I'm not like, Scotty better have this next year. He's, you know, he's nothing. No, 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 no. I think Scotty's getting it. I really do. I think he's, you can see him on the court. He knows what the game needs, what the team needs when he's out there. And that's why I love him as a player so much. So I think seeing that continue and looking for that, if we are going to get other players, looking for that sort of thing. Cause I think that that's the thing that a developing team, it's very easy to not have it. And I don't mean to make this about another Toronto team, but look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are lacking it severely. And it shows off in the last like 8 years of, you know, we had all three of our Toronto teams had this great young core that we were all like, okay, here we go. Right. And the Raptors kind of experienced it first because they, you know, the time was a little bit off. So we get to see it happen with the Raptors and then adding Kawhi worked. Leafs doing it is not working. Jays are in trouble as well. So like having that leadership though, we had Kyle with the leadership and we kind of like,
Do you know who is carrying Toronto sports right now?
Who's carrying Toronto sports right now?
Yeah, the PWHL team.
Oh, yes.
First in the league, went on an 11-game winning streak, clinched the playoffs. Like, we love it. I'm single-handedly carrying Toronto sports right now.
Yeah, and honestly, like, getting more coverage, but still not enough. I mean, it is playoffs. It is Leafs. I get it. They're going to dominate the new cycle. But, like, I still think not enough.
But all their games are sold out.
Yes. Yeah. Getting the support from the fans for sure. What I think. That's what I think. Look for that. Look to grow that and put players in position who are going to help with that.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Leadership. Shout out to PWHL.
I'm sorry. Freddie. Really good. Honestly, you really summed it up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It came across.
Leadership. Shout outs PWHL.
And Patella's hurt. Chelsea,
busted knees. You're just thinking of injuries. You're just running injuries in your head, being like, "That was a good
no
one."
No good. Ong back. Don't watch it. Okay.
The one where the kickboxer tried to kick the guy in the shin and broke his leg, and then tried to stand on
it. Oh, I remember that. Yay! Don't do it.
Don't do
ouch,
it.
Ouch! Ouch! Cringe. Chelsea, what's the Raptors like? Yeah, what's the number one need?
A bench.
Yep.
Because, like, it was rough. And, I mean, there's so many things about this past season that, like, aren't in anybody's control for the most part. Like,
Oce, he's staying in my basement. But don't listen to this.
Oh, yeah. So
weak
it's
joke,
like,
sorry.
Yeah.
You had to carry a lot with that one. We had to first buy into the fact that he was living in your basement for some reason.
Suspend his belief like a little far, but yeah. It was like, how were we supposed to predict that like one of our most promising guys was gonna end up getting banned from the league?
We haven't even talked about that. That's nuts. The ban is like, it's wild. Yeah.
Well, part of the ban is we can't talk about it. Go ahead, Chelsea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carry on. How are we supposed to predict that one? Then it's like all the injuries happen, these guys are being asked to do things that they like wouldn't be able to do, the system is not working the way it's supposed to. So like you had the benefit of these guys getting a lot of great experience, but then at the same time, like, still at the end of the day, you're like, who would you want to carry on in the bench next year? And it's like, okay, Grady, maybe Ochai, and then like who else? You know, so I'm like, we need
Jordan
to.
Wara?
Yeah, I guess. But then that's like what, three people? Rest of the bench needs to be filled. I think that they're probably going to address that in the draft, but like, still, it's hard to think about any of the bench people from this season. Like, I don't know. But
Chelsea, it sounds like you're saying a popular thing that actually when Freddie was away, Brendo and I, we would say this a lot. Someone must play for the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, someone has.
You know, so like it sounds like you're that's your biggest thing is like someone must play for the Toronto
Raptors. Someone has to come here. Yeah. And I just think that like And again, it's like nobody's fault, but like a lot of the things that happened just like were bad. Like,
yeah, it was a bad year.
Like, yes, Bruce Brown didn't pan out the way you wanted him to. You had all these factors, these injuries, these whatevers. Yeah, it's like, does Gary Trent Jr. stay or go? Like, there's so much up in the air that I'm so curious about what they're going to do with, like, the back half of the bench. Because when you think about it, you have your starting five pretty much locked in at this point. And that's a promising start. Like, I am very much here for our promising starting five of the future. Very in on Emmanuel Quickly, very in on RJ Barrett, obviously very in on Scottie Barnes. You need someone to fill that, like, two spot, I guess. And then, you know, Pirtle. Then there's Pirtle. Yeah. So then it's like, okay, cool. Now figure out the rest.
Yeah, I think that's a really good take. You know, because like it seems like Grady's a guy, Kelly's gonna be here, but you're right. Like that's not enough. You're gonna need more, and you're gonna need like if you draft, you know, if you expect rookies to really bring it for your team, that's tough. And I don't know if this is sort of like a similar but different take. I think that with some cap space, this is an opportunity for the Raptors potentially, Masai, to clear the very, very extremely low bar of the best free agent signing of all time. So the Raptors unrestricted free agents, it is absolutely dreadful. If you look through the Raptors history, I mean, we're talking like, I mean, money wise, it's like Turk and potentially, and this is like, kills me to say, potentially the best unrestricted free agent the Raptors have ever signed is Dennis Schroeder.
No.
Yes. Think about it. Like, cause it's bad. It, trust me, if you look at unrestricted free agent signings, it is just a graveyard of bad players. Now,
yeah, I've been racking my brain for the past 60 seconds trying to figure out, and every time I'm like, nope, like, traded, nope.
Damari Carroll. I mean, you know, actually, you're really probably going to go to the Colangelo era because it's probably like Jose Calderon, Anthony Parker, someone like that.
Fred was a free agent, wasn't he?
But he was like an undrafted.
Counts.
You know what? That does count. But I mean, like a name.
Yes. I mean like someone.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like whether it's like a, you know, a JV or a Malik Monk or.
So I'm just looking at
whomever, like not Tobias Harris, but like Lonzo Ball, like whoever the hell it is, like they need to sign someone that is exciting. And I think also to Chelsea's point, can contribute to this team, even if it's like a bench guy, right? Even if it's a D'Angelo Russell, like whoever it is. If they could sign someone that is like a legit positive person for this moment in time, I think that's the win I want.
You know who would be a perfect free agent signing for this team?
Who? Pascal?
OG Anunoby.
OG or Pascal would be wonderful on this team. Bring my son's home.
Okay, you talked about the free agent signings. Okay, there's a little list here on some whatever one of those list websites about the best free agent signings in Toronto. Now they have FEV as number one, whatever. But you're right. That counts, fair.
Like, you know what? Yeah,
that's fair. He was a free agent. He signed. Yeah, that's fair.
But it's not the same. It's not the same. I don't. Actually, you guys
bet on yourself. You're not right.
They got Jose Calderon is next, right?
Okay.
Sure. Okay. Number three, like the drop off is insane. The drop off is like just off of a cliff. Number three, and I like this player. I love this player. It's Anthony Parker is number three all time.
Anthony Parker was great, but it's
number
like,
four, Bismack Biyombo. Number five, Chris Boucher. We're talking, it's not great.
Yeah, it's bleak.
Number six is Jamario Moon. Okay, come on.
Wow.
I love Jamario, but
yeah, big rebound he did once.
We got it once, you know, I love it.
I love that list is like.
They do have the clip of him doing something.
If you YouTube Jamario Moon rebound, you thank me later. It's wild.
Okay.
That list is like the one of the best players that the franchise has ever seen that we like developed. Then number two. Then the second greatest Parker sibling.
And then and also a very distant second.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like Anthony Parker. No offense. You had a great career. Also, shout out Candace, who just retired.
Candace Parker. That made, I'm still sad. I'm still emotional about that. But yeah, yeah, shout out Candace Parker.
Big deal. I'm glad I got to see her play a bunch. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think okay. Let's do this last question here.
Quickly gonna say, I did watch the rebound, and it is quite impressive.
Trust me.
It's like his arm grows like an extra 3 feet long. He gets this ball. It's insane.
You think, yeah, okay. You think it's from the film The Sixth Man. That's how good it is.
Except that then you're like, why is this? Why is the play-by-play in like German or something? You're like, that's
it's weird. Yeah, I didn't get that either.
Anyways, didn't mean to derail you. Carry
no,
on.
No, no. Check the rebound, everybody at home. If you're driving, go as fast as you can. Nope. Don't pull over. Don't pull over.
Gun it.
Gun it.
Don't stop until you see the rebound.
Fast and Furious style. Like, look the other way. Watch the clip. Okay. The Raptors look like they're bringing back the purple, which I'm a fan of. I hope, right? What else, Chelsea, should they bring back?
What else should they bring back? I mean, yeah, other than the drip of the 90s, 6'9 forwards.
Vision 6'9? We're bringing back Vision 6'9.
No, I like say that as half a joke because it's like everyone like clowned Vision 6'9 for the entire time.
I loved it.
Yeah, but then you like kind of look at the roster and you're like, what could the Raptors really use right now? OG Anunoby.
Turns out a versatile 6'9 player is incredibly rare and very important.
Bring back defense.
Yeah.
To this team. Yeah, they could also be bringing back defense. Also, bring back affordable ticket prices.
Mm. Yes, I love that answer.
That's a huge answer.
There should be a law. Like, if you have a heinous year, you're not allowed to raise the prices of your
And then franchise. Someone even, like, asked Masai. They were like, so what's up about the ticket prices? And he was like, it's just business. And I was like, okay.
And it's like, we know that, but...
We know that, but also, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Masai, what about the housing crisis? That's just business.
Yeah, that's
just business. Okay.
It's not his fault. This housing crisis
has been going on for
for 40 plus years. Runaway capitalism. What do you think about that? Is it your fault?
Hey, Masai, what do you think about Loblaws overcharging?
I was just going to say that.
Just business.
Masai, I know you're not shopping at Loblaws, but do you agree with stealing from it?
Masai, have you ever put in one avocado, but you actually have two avocados?
Nice.
That's how you do it.
That's a good one.
Trick.
Put the bag in as one.
Yeah.
Buy those bags.
Or you put in zero bags, then after you're like, oh no, I need a bag. And then you just.
This is good stuff.
I've never paid for one of those bags. Guess what? Yeah. Come get me.
Yeah. There's so many hacks to living in Toronto.
That's good stuff.
Where they'll save us 60 cents.
Yeah.
I personally.
So we can afford Raptors tickets eventually.
Yeah, exactly. I respect Loblaws and what they do, so I won't participate in this.
Wow.
Riff. Just kidding. Andy, what should they bring back?
Walt Williams' socks. That's what I wrote. Walt Williams, the tall socks, the knee highs. There's no player that does that anymore, right? Like, let's go. Let's bring it back as a team thing that we all.
Scotty's socks aren't high enough for you?
Higher.
Higher. That's what I'm saying.
Also, let's not bring back. You know what I don't like about the old jerseys? I gotta say, is the weird pinstripes. I've never liked the zigzaggy pinstripe.
I like the Vince Carter all purples.
Yeah, Vince Carter all purples. Yeah.
I saw a picture of those the other day, and I remember liking them too. And then I saw them, and I was like, maybe it's just like I'm reminded of the era where don't get me wrong, I like those Raptors teams. I was, you know, right there for that, but like. I don't know. There's something that just didn't excite me, you know? Yeah. Like, whereas I do get a little more excited by the old, like the Stoudemire, the Raptors.
Yeah. We got to bring back the dinosaur.
But give me the dinosaur without the weird pinstripe. Just don't do the zigzag. I think it looks.
I honestly think they could like blend the two eras so well.
Agreed. Yes.
Like the
purple. If anyone's watching at home, a bug just flew into, like, landed on the monitor and it scared the shit out of me. So just. Yeah, I just
rewind. I'm going to watch that. It's going in the clips.
rewind it a couple seconds. I'm rattled. Okay. It's actually, it's actually still right there. It is.
What kind of bug is it? Weird
bugs that are in my backyard.
Is it those stink bugs? Those big, yeah, like kind of like leaf looking little weird black ones?
Oh man, this is probably gonna crawl on the camera. Cause guess what? I ain't touching it. Holy shit!
The bug just wants to talk about the raptors. How dare you?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was scary.
I thought you were gonna suggest that the raptors should put a bug on the jersey. I was gonna be like.
Where's it going with this bit? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, just rattle to my core. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Bring back bugs to the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah. Release the bugs.
Release the
bugs. Freddie is truly rattled. Yeah. He can't even join in on a joke. He can't even join in on a joke at all. He's just looking at the bug. The bug is taking over the show.
It's running my show. It's like dancing around. No good. Here's what I want to bring back. Does anyone remember when very briefly they had like a 3D Raptors writing on the end on the court? So it looked like the way they did the paint job. There was this 3D writing and everyone made fun of it. But then as it settled in, everyone's like, actually kind of cool. Then they took it away. So
you're talking about like under the baskets, right?
Yo guys, this that one go on the camera and holy
I love I want him to really badly.
If it does, it's gonna look like it's like a dinosaur.
I love it.
Holy guacamole.
So wait, now you are Freddie, stop looking at the bug for a second. Listen,
it's actually on the camera, like it's not on the lens. Holy shit. Sorry.
Okay. The 3D writing was
play-by-play of the bug's movement. And the bug's rounding the corner.
Look, you're it's okay. My 4-year-old son is also like afraid of bugs right now. Like he gets really rattled by bugs. Exactly.
He's 4.
But we're really working with him to like, you know, be cooler with bugs and like, don't worry, man. Like it's okay.
Don't send him my way.
Yeah, this is how he is. But guess what? He has improved past what Freddie is doing right now in the last week or so. So Freddie, you are
It's not a way you want to live your life.
No, you don't want to. No. Okay. Okay, this is it. It's over.
It flew off.
Over.
Okay,
it flew off.
Yeah, what a great conclusion to this.
It's very good.
On the ground near my shoe, we're good.
If the Raptors ever need a new play-by-play person, I'm just going to send them this podcast.
Yeah. They're like, hey, Raptors, if you need someone, this guy's a wimp, loves injuries, easily rattled.
I can't wait till like tomorrow morning, like 9 o'clock, I get up and Freddie is still giving me play-by-play of where the bug is.
Yeah. He's like, hey guys, the bug is now in the next room.
Yeah.
He has
the
moved
bug is
in.
Drinking my orange juice. Yeah. Yeah.
We're
yeah.
Moving remember out the name of the bug? For the folks at home, it's a box elder beetle.
Oh, it's just one of those red ones?
Yeah.
Wait, how do you know? So did you like take a picture of it and Google it?
No, I like me and Caitlin, like we have a bunch of them at our place.
Yeah, they're all, like, you know what
are these things?
Okay. They're all over my place too. They are really prevalent for some reason. And like, what's a bug scientist? Entomologist? Is that a bug scientist?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. They don't know why this is, but wherever those bugs live, they live on the west side more often.
Oh, that's why you guys live in the west end.
So ooh. In Toronto, they live more prominently on the west end, and they don't know why that is.
Boo, west end, boo.
Boo.
Listen, west end, baby, let's go.
Listen, Celtics okay, fan.
I went straight to the Boston thing too.
Yeah.
Hey, there's going to be someone in my neighborhood roasting a whole lamb in a couple of days, and you can't tell me that the west end is better than that. Like,
hey, listen, because we're here,
Easter.
I found a lamb skull on my porch the other day.
Nice.
I'll send our coyote to eat that roasted lamb.
Danforth
during Greek Easter, East End all the time, best end.
It's very nice. It's a very good end.
Okay.
I love all ends.
I love all ends. I love burnt ends, barbecue. Okay.
The end of the show. I would love for it to happen. It'd be great.
Me too. Let's wrap it up. This was great. Chelsea, you're awesome. Andy, you're awesome. Raptors Republic people, you know, subscribe, like, support, help everybody out. There's a lot of people working hard. It's a great website.
The Bug. The Bug's working really hard.
Yeah. If you see a Box Elder, you're in the West.
Yeah.
Chelsea, you got a lot of fun stuff going on always. Yeah. Let people, you know, where, let people know where they can find you, listen to you, read your writing, all the good stuff.
Yeah. So you can follow us on Raptors HQ, doing all the off-season stuff, the WNBA stuff. For WNBA, that's going to be starting literally like this weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm on Winsider. I'm on Swish Appeal. I'm on some other places as they come up. And then I'm on Twitter/Instagram at Chelsea Late. Got in there early. Got just my name as my username. And yeah, so I post stuff there that you can read. But yeah, we're going to go into a very exciting WNBA/Olympic season coming up. Mm-hmm. So we'll be covering that.
Hell yeah. Andy, you got any fun plugs?
Ooh, fun plugs.
Tell people about the trivia.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so I host trivia at a place called the Smith House on College of McCall down here in Toronto. Listen, if enough of the Raptors fans came out, I would make it a sports trivia night easily. But I just don't know if I want to, like, scare away everyone who's not a sports fan right now. But, like, if a bunch of sports people came, I would happily make it a sports trivia night. It'd be very fun. So, yeah, come on down to that. It's the fourth Wednesday of every month. And Space Janitor's coming out May 4th. Stay tuned for that. That's just in 2 days from when we're recording this. And also, you might see your boy in the season finale of it's not done shooting it yet, but when the final season of What We Do in the Shadows comes out, keep an eye out. You'll see me make a return to that show. So yeah, that was neat. So look out for that. There you go.
Beautiful. Cool. Yeah. Well, everyone, thanks so much for listening and supporting. And if you're a Box Elder Bug, like, don't ever do that again. I'm scared.